Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
I want to talk to you today for a few minutes about faith. Faith is the core and the center of our Christian belief, right? And so there's two scriptures I'll draw your attention to. The first one is in Romans 12, verse 3, where Paul tells us God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So Paul takes any question out of the matter. He says, you all have this substance called faith. God has given to each human being, whether they believe or not, a measure of faith. Faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what we release to bring a desired future into our world and into our life. So then I go to Mark chapter 11, 23, where Jesus speaks these profound words to his disciples. He said, have faith in God. So we're talking about the same thing. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, come on, I got to tell you, there's a big gap between a measure of faith and mountain moving faith. There's a distance to be traveled. There's something that has to happen in our world and in our lives to move. And I just want to talk to you today for a few moments about some of the things that I believe are the keys to us developing mountain-moving faith, all right? Now, the mountain is whatever it is that stands in your way. The mountain for you may be a health issue. It may be anxiety, it may be depression, it may be an addiction, it may be all sorts of things, but the mountain represents the enemy, the obstacle that's preventing you from moving forward into the future that God has designed for you. And so as we spend this time together, I want you to start to think, what is it? What mountain needs to move in my life? What do I need to rise up in my faith level to see move today? Because when we get to the end of the service, I'm going to pray and I'm going to get you to do something. We're going to believe God to move some mountains today. Amen? So the first thing that I think that you need to develop and make sure you have to move from a measure to mountain moving is you've got to have a deeply held conviction in your heart and in your spirit that believes that what the Bible said is true, that this is just not poetic words. Jesus wasn't just blowing off steam. He was giving us a secret that would help us to be everything that he's called us to be and destined us to be. He told us, this is it. You can move the mountain. You can move the mountain. He basically didn't say, I move the mountains. He said, you can move the mountain, right? And so right from the get-go, let's talk about this. There's something we've got to do in order to see the mountain move. And it isn't just to ask Jesus to move it for us. We've got to start to develop in ourselves a conviction, a deeply held belief, right? So what happened after COVID, some people came back to church. And it made me think about, like, what's going on there? You know, and I think some people had a commitment to the house of God, but they didn't have a conviction about the house of God. Because a conviction will get you up in the morning. A conviction informs your decisions. A conviction is worked out in what you do. Why do I do what I do? Because I have a conviction about those things. So no matter what it is in your life that directs you and that causes you to do certain things, it's because you hold a conviction in your heart about those things. James chapter 2 and 26 says, for the body, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without corresponding works is dead also. In other words, there's no good saying I'm a person of faith if it doesn't actually be outworked in the things that I do on a day-to-day basis, right? Most of you are here today because you hold a conviction about, I was glad when they said to me, let's go up to the house of the Lord, right? I don't know about you, but during COVID, I hated it, right? I got to a certain stage of getting up in the morning with a cup of coffee and watching church online. It's just not the same. I mean, you know, the praise team are doing a great job, but I'm not getting up in my room with my coffee and dancing. But when I get into the house of God, something overcomes me. There's nothing like being in the house, being in the presence of God. And so you do it because you have a conviction. Come on, we need to develop a conviction of faith that moves mountains. You've got to believe in your heart. That's what it says in the verse. Doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that you say will come to pass. I'll tell you the truth, you'll have what you say. All right, so go with me. We've got to have a conviction. That's the first step, but that's not the end. The second thing I think you need to develop is an ability to control your thoughts. Right? Now, if you're a human being, you know that your mind can go places that you don't want it to go. Right? You can start following a train of thought and then go, what the heck am I doing here? How did that happen? And so the Bible is very clear about this idea. In the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. He said, you've got to do it. You've got to take control of your thought life. And so as I thought about this part of mountain moving faith, I draw to this scripture in Romans chapter 4, where Paul's talking about the faith of Abraham. And he says, the promise was, so shall your descendants be, like the stars in the heavens and the sand by the seashore. And it says about Abraham, and not being weak in faith, here we go again, faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform. Come on, you listen to this. This is what got me. He took no thought for his own body. He took no thought for the problem that was preventing him becoming the father of many nations, right? He had to switch off thinking about the impossibility of his circumstance and start to focus on, come on, the promise of God that said this is going to happen. And so we're the same. We've got to control our thought life. In early 2018, I had a medical episode, and I thought I was having a heart attack. I thought something was wrong. Went to the doctors, gives you a quick blood test, says, no, all good, you're not having a heart attack, but I want you to see a cardiologist. So I go to all these things, you know, they plug you into everything, put you on the treadmill till you think you're just about going to die, and, you know, do all of this stuff. And then I go for my appointment with the cardiologist, and he takes my blood pressure, and he goes, that's a bit high. And then he says, I'll take it again. He goes, it's higher. He goes, I think I better stop. I'm going to stop taking it. He said to me, he says, Mark, do you have a blood pressure machine at home? And I go, yeah. He said, do you take your own blood pressure? I go, yeah. He says, okay, I'm your cardiologist. I'm giving you some medical advice. Throw it away. So I haven't taken my blood pressure since 2018. I have no idea what it is. But I'm not giving my thoughts to that, because I found myself in that season thinking, you know, I got grandkids, I want to see them grow, but I want to die. I don't need it. And your thoughts start going into crazy places and forget that I'm not under that circumstance. I'm under the covering of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When I became a Christian, I moved out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and there's no one making decisions about my life and my future and how long it is except him. But if I let my thoughts go, oh, what's happening to your body? It's all that. And you'll kill yourself. You'll kill yourself. You give power to that thing. And so I decided, I give no thought for it. My blood pressure's probably hotter. I don't know. I don't care. Right? I don't care. I'm still here. I'm enjoying myself. But the reality is, if I give thought to the mountain, I empower it. But if I control my thoughts, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are perfect, whatsoever things are virtues, whatsoever things are a good report, think on these things, right? So the Bible tells us, don't let your thoughts go where your problem is. Don't think about your mountain, speak to your mountain in Jesus' name. Praise God. Oh, I love this. It's not God's will that you are subject to the problem in the mountain. It's God's will that you move the mountain, right? It's God's will you move the mountain, not that you suffer under it. The third thing I have, I got to do this. I got to control what I say. I've got to get a hold of my words. My words are powerful, right? The book of Isaiah 55 says, so shall my word be that goes out forward from my mouth. It will not return void, but will be fruitful and accomplish what I've set it out to do. That's what our words are doing. They're accomplishing for us a future. But if I'm speaking negativity and doubt and woe, I'm speaking that into my future. So it's not the power of positive thinking. It's deciding that my language is going to be empowering to the mountain moving, not to making the mountain get bigger, right? It's my choice and my decision. And so James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And the problem most of us have is we do say the right things, but then we say the wrong things, right? We do speak faith, but then we speak fear and doubt. And so we're switching between, and we disempower ourselves from what God wants us to have. So I used to preach this message years ago. Pastor Steve, you love this. It was called Faithometer. And I came across this thing that in the Gospels, Jesus is the only place it's ever mentioned, but he would take the time to give people a faith reading in a midst of a circumstance. So we're on the Sea of Galilee where the storm is raging. The disciples think they're going to drown. They wake up Jesus and say, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? And he stands up and he says to the wind and the waves, peace be still. And then he turns around to them and says, how is it you have no faith? Right? So what? How, what? Is this the time for a faith reading? I don't know, but Jesus took the time to tell them. And how did he know where their faith was located? In their words. Your faith is located in your mouth. Right? So they're going to feed the 5,000. You give them something to eat, Jesus says. And they go, well, where are we going to get the money to buy all the food that we need to feed all this crowd? It's going to cost this much. We've only got these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. He says, how is it that you have little faith? I started thinking about it like faith is like the VU meter on your stereo, if you still have one. That, you know, gives you a reading. Is it flatlining or is it little faith? But see, remember, everyone's got to measure faith. How great is your faith going to become? And so to the centurion that Jesus meets, I can visualize this scene in a busy street somewhere in a marketplace, and this centurion comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, my servant is sick, he's dying, would you come and heal him? And Jesus says, sure, I'll come. And he says, hang on, I'm a man under authority. I say to this one, go, this one, come, and they do it. He said, just speak the word, and my servant will be well. This is seen. Jesus got all the disciples behind me. He goes, do you hear that? I have not heard such great faith. No, not in all of Israel. All right, so the words located the faith level. What we say is going to determine what we get, right? So I don't want to be a person who's saying one thing and then saying another thing and keep undoing the good that I did with my faith by my doubt and my fear. I got to control my words, right? I got to put a guard on my lips. I got to make sure that I'm going to speak into the right areas in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll give you my medical history here. I had to go to another specialist about something, and he goes to me. I'm sitting in his office, and he says to me, well, Mr. Bates, you've most likely got cancer. And I went, no, I haven't. Right, I just said it. No, I haven't. He goes, well, given your age and you most likely have cancer. And I pointed at him. I said, I'm telling you, I haven't got cancer. All right, so I had to go, biopsies, all of this stuff again, come back. And he goes, well, good news, Mr. Bates. You don't have cancer. And I said, I told you I didn't have cancer. Right? I don't know why I said that, but I'm not going to accept every other word that someone wants to speak over my life and over my world. I'm going to stay in faith. Now, I've got friends and family members who they've got you buried the minute you get a bad diagnosis from the doctor, right? Oh, the doctor said this, and we're preparing for the funeral. And it's like, what is wrong with you? Like, I don't live under the authority of the word of the doctor. That's now where I'm living. Jesus is my Lord, right? All the days appointed to me were written in his book before one of them came to be. Nothing can take me out of his hand, right? There's only one being that decides when I stop breathing, and that's the Lord Jesus, right? So you can be a specialist. I don't care what you are. You're not going to tell me I've got a death sentence. This is not your job, right? Now, I can look back, and it's a great sermon illustration, Michael, to say, but I don't know why I said it, but I just said to him, no, I do not have cancer. Thank you very much, right? And so we've got to be those people who decide what comes out of here is going to speak to the mountain of opposition and of problem and of defeat that I need to move out of the way. I'm not going to speak into empowering it. There's way too many people having meetings to talk about their mountain, having a coffee and a conference when they need to be speaking to it, right? And so we've got to be people who learn to speak faith into the circumstances of our lives. Are you with me still?
Yes.
All right, so there's a little bit more to go yet. It's one thing to speak. It's another thing to speak out of that conviction and out of the confidence you have in God's word. Right? So you've all heard people say things and you go, I don't think they're convinced about that. Right? I'm saying something, but am I really convinced in myself? And so I need confidence, right? The Bible's got a bit to say about confidence. And confidence turns your words into a prophetic utterance over a circumstance. The confidence in what I'm saying because of what God has promised changes words into a prophetic utterance, right? And so look, this is what it says in the Bible, 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence, right? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, it's not his will that you're sick. It's not his will that you're defeated. It's not his will that you're addicted. It's not his will that you live in depression, anxiety, and fear. Not his will, right? I'm asking according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have granted the petitions that we have asked of him. Let me shorten this for you. This is the confidence we have that God will do what we say. God will give us what we say according to his will. Amen. Right? That's it. I'll shorten version. John's a bit verbose. I'm just going to cut it right down. Right? So there's no confusion. I have confidence that when I speak to the mountain, it's going to move. I got to have confidence. I'm not going to beg the mountain. I'm not going to plead with the mountain. All right? Are we good still?
Yeah.
Still love me? Yeah. We're nearly at the end. Look at that. I got 23 minutes. We're going to have fun here. The last thing that we need to move from, right? We're moving from a measure of faith to great faith to move mountains is spiritual authority. That's why I didn't go right there. There's a process. But I need to understand. You need to understand. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, you have been given spiritual authority to operate in. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Jesus says this, all authority has been given to me in the heavens, in the earth, and under the earth. In every realm of existence, all authority has been given to Jesus Christ, right? That was his statement. He lived a life of spiritual authority. And he said, now that after his resurrection, I have been given all authority. There's not one name under heaven. There's not one name in the earth. There's not one name in the underworld that he does not have authority over. All right? Right, so it's all authority. So let me take it further then. He says, all authority has been given to me, so go. I'm sending you. Right, so I'm sent with the authority that Jesus won into the earth to make a difference. If I can't move my own mountain, how can I help other people to move theirs? And so I think this is the day and the age where the church of Jesus Christ needs to rise up with a new spiritual authority to declare that we're overcomers. That we got victory, that mountains are moving in our world, in our lives, and in our circumstances. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power and all authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Right? So if you're unsure about where Jesus used his authority for, he gave it to you. This is the most important point, because I see a lot of people asking Jesus to do things he told them to do. I see a lot of people when they pray, "Oh Lord, please help me. Oh Lord, can take this sickness away. Oh Lord, give me a breakthrough." And he's there going, "Didn't I ask you to do this?" Right? If we're asking Jesus to do things that he's asked us to do, we're not operating in faith, right? The Church of Jesus Christ needs people of faith to move mountains. And so you've got to speak to the mountain. Remember, this is what it said, Mark 11:23. Whoever says to this mountain, "Get out the way, be removed." People come to me all the time. You know, this is the whole thing with some of the things that are wrong with church today. Everybody wants the pastor or the preacher or the man of God, woman of God to pray for them. Pray for yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Pray for yourself. And so people say to me, "Oh, I've got this problem. Will you pray for me?" And I go, "Yeah, sure thing. Devil, get your hands off their life. I'm posting a no trespassing sign on this person. You're being evicted. In the authority of the name of Jesus Christ that he's given to me, I cast you out." Right? I'm not asking God. I'm using the authority that he gave me to speak that over people's lives. Now, does that work? No, sometimes it doesn't, because people won't get the message and start to speak it over their own life, right? Oh, this is so funny with this COVID thing. This is like the first conversation. "Have you had COVID?" "No, I haven't had COVID." "Have you?" "Oh, yeah. I don't know, because I'm not doing any tests, all right? If I've had it, it wasn't very bad, okay?" But here's the reality of life. I learned this a long time ago. Some people, they wake up in the morning, they've got a bit of a tickle in their throat. They've got a bit of a sniffle. They're reaching for a rat test. I mean, before we had COVID, it was just like, "Oh, I think I've got a flu. I think I've got a cold coming on. I better get the pajamas out and, get a scarf and a nice hot cup of lemon tea, and I'll have a couple of days off work." I used to say, "Wrong address." If I wake up with a sniffle or a wrong address, there is someone down the road with the silk pajamas waiting just for you. But it ain't here, right? Now, some of you may know my son. He's preached at Numa. He's a bit of a healing evangelist. And he tells a story. He says, like, I grew up in an atmosphere of faith, he goes. He said he'd come to out in the morning and say, "Oh, I'm not feeling well. I don't think I can go to school." And my wife would say to him, "Get back in your room. Get on your knees beside your bed and pray until you're well enough to go to school." Right? We've got to cultivate around our lives an atmosphere of, no, we're not going this way. We're not accepting this. We are going to speak with authority into the problems, the mountains, the circumstances that stand against us. Now, I hope that while we've been speaking, you've been thinking about where you're at in your life. What is it that you need to break through? What is it that you need to move, that you can go forward into the destiny and the future that God has for you? Because, you know, the reality of life is that once you get past one mountain, there'll be another one. All right, Michael, we've been around a while. There's always a mountain. So if I don't move a mountain, I don't go forward. And some people sadly have camped at the same mountain for their whole lives. We need to be people who understand that this is a truth, a spiritual reality that we've been given. And so when we come to the time to pray in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to speak, right? Because this is what it says, whoever speaks to the mountain, whoever speaks, I'm going to pray, but you need to come into agreement with it. You need to speak. I've preached at a lot of churches and asked people to speak out things over their life, and it's so hard for some people to actually vocalize a word that's directed at the problem from their own mouth. And so we've got to overcome that. We've got to be people who are prepared to declare, right, based on my conviction, based on what I think, based on what I say, based on the confidence I have in God's word, and understanding the spiritual authority that God has given to me. Oh, I don't feel worthy. Well, you're not worthy, all right? But he still gave it to us. And he wants us to speak it out and to declare it over our circumstances, over our future. I'm sorry if I'm spitting on you. You've chosen a seat that's in a danger zone. Now, there's two kinds of power that are mentioned in the Word of God. One of them is dunamis, which is like working, explosive power. But the second kind is exousia, authority. And Jesus, if you look at it, Jesus always operated in exousia when he was on earth. He spoke, right? The demons came out. He spoke and the dead came back to life. He spoke and the blind eyes opened. He spoke to the issue and the mountain moved. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.